Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing well today. I feel like a freaking chef. I showed you a picture of my dinner and called me Gordon Ramsay, but oh my God, did you see it?
It was gorgeous. What was it? It was tofu. It was like a lot of greens.
Like a stir fry medley, some soba noodles, some soy and ginger sauce. But enough of about my dinner, today's a special day.
It is a very special day. We are like very guest happy lately. We love having guests on with us. We just need to break the tension between Sarah and I all the time. So we need to include another person in our shenanigans.
We got into too many fights about fashion hour. So like our therapist was like, okay, guys, you need to bring like a buffer in. So, yes. So we have a special guest.
Yes. So our buffer, our special guest, is none other than Kayla from Podquester. Kayla, you're a big Boy Meets World fan. Is that right?
Yes. I love sitcoms so much. That's all I watch.
Yeah. Same. So tell us about like your history with Boy Meets World. Like, did you watch it when it was on like TGI Friday or in syndication?
Probably syndication, because what year did it come out?
93.
I feel like I was... so I was born in 94, so I definitely was not watching it live, but I have it on DVD now, and I rewatch it a lot.
You have it on DVD? My mom...
Yes, it was a Christmas
present.
I'm
so jealous. My mom, like, threw out my Boy Meets World DVDs when I moved, and I haven't been able to get my hands on another set, and it's been, like, a big point of depression.
I would not talk to my mom again if she threw away any of my sitcom DVDs.
She also threw out my BB book and my sixth grade yearbook, but that's like a different story for a different day.
For a Pisces, she's not that sentimental, huh? She like doesn't have attachment to things.
No, she doesn't. She's not very sentimental. I taught you that there's like three different types of every sign. Mm-hmm. So we're different types of Pisces. I'm like I think it's called decant. I'm not quite sure.
Yes, the decants.
I'm a second decant and she's a third. And like, I'm like a truer Pisces than like, it's like, you know, a first decant is like more like an Aquarius. The second is like a truer Pisces. And the third is like more like of an Aries Pisces, if that makes sense. Kayla, do you even do you pay attention to astrology, or do we sound like a bunch of witches?
I had CoStar for like 5 minutes, but outside of that, I really don't know anything about astrology. I know I'm a Sagittarius. I had to text my mom to figure out what time I was born, but I forget, so I don't know like the rising. Yeah,
Sagittarius
and all that business,
is but... I'm a fellow fire sign. I'm a Leo. I do feel like fire signs are like very prevalent in podcasting because it's just like, give me your attention, listen to me, thank you.
I can relate.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So enough about our witchcraft.
we devolve into astrology talk so often, but I just feel like it makes a lot of sense because it comes up naturally 90% of the time.
Yeah, I would say. Who is your favorite character in Boy Meets World, Kayla?
That's a toughie. I would say I watched season one to get ready for this and then the two episodes of season two. And I would say that so far my favorite character is Eric, but I think that definitely changes as time goes on. I like Corey too. I think he's really funny. I find myself actually laughing when he says stuff, and I know it's like, it's just the writer's room, but I think that he's really funny and I'd probably be friends with him.
I think that's a great point. Like, I was watching this episode today and I was like, I don't know what happened to Corey, but he's actually funny. Like, yeah. There was multiple times in this episode where I thought he was like making really funny jokes. Like, I didn't think that he was like stupid or annoying. I was like, and once again, yeah, like totally, it's the writer's room, but they were actually writing really well for Corey this episode, and I was excited to see that.
Yeah, I think, like, Ben Savage has just also improved as well, like over a season. I feel like he just, like, the timing of the jokes, like his delivery is better. Like, I thought it was funny when he's telling Feeny like he's gonna have a hickey, like the way, like his physical comedy was really good.
I was very impressed.
He's a very good actor. Mm-hmm. I think
I love Ben Savage.
That whole family is very talented.
Oh my, yes, absolutely. So Jess, this is, I'm taking over the introduction this week, hope you don't mind. I've been waiting for this moment forever. This is Boy Meets World Season 2, Episode 2, Pairing Off, and we have a familiar face. Do you know who Wendy is, Jess?
She looked so familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. That's not the My Date with the President's Daughter girl.
No.
Okay, because it looks kind of like her.
Okay, so this is Jessica Wesson, and we talked about her earlier in the year. She was Amber, a.k.a. the mean girl from Casper.
Oh, you're
like
right.
Amber's cruise party.
Yes.
So she was, like, so mad that, like, she didn't get to host the Halloween party. So she was also in Flipper. She was also in, like, some movie called Milk Money. She was in Home Improvement. She shows up again, season 2, episode 15.
Yes.
And, and for whatever reason, like, she was, like, a huge actress in the early 90s. And she just, like, disappeared after 2000. So wherever you are, Jessica Wesson, like, let me know. Because where did you go? Like, you could have been, like, a star.
Yeah, she has, like, the very striking blonde hair. I thought she's cute. I remembered her more because I definitely recognized her. And I thought this episode was the episode that's in the future. I thought that's what this one was when I first saw her appear this episode. So I know we'll see more of her later, and her character is a lot bigger in the next episode we see her in. But I agree. Like, I thought she was cute. She had star potential. I'm surprised that she didn't, you know, kind of pursue anything more with acting, or maybe she couldn't get gigs after this. I don't know. I'm just surprised we don't see her as an adult more.
Yeah, I don't know.
There was someone else that looked really familiar too, but I couldn't figure out who she was. The second person that Sean pairs up with.
Yes, she is familiar too. I think she comes back in Boy Meets World. I'm fairly certain she's in more episodes.
We don't have a name because she was just a random girl.
I could try to find it. I don't know. I recognized her as well. But I don't know what her name was. She reminded me. Is she not the girl that is in, what is that show? Oh my gosh. That, like, show that had, like, one season. oh gosh, the 2000s. I'm like Freaks and Geeks. Is that not her?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's so hard to look up people from specific episodes because like you look at the cast and it just shows them in order of how many episodes that they were mm-hmm. in, you know?
Yeah.
So I can't find her.
No,
they need something where you can take a picture of someone and just like, who is that? That would be. Wait,
Hulu does that sometimes.
Or Prime, when you pause it, maybe it tells you Prime. Exactly who they are.
I think
are.
You're right. I think it's Prime. It's like, that feature is genius, and everybody needs to do that because it's a lifesaver.
I agree.
Yeah. I can't, I found like Samantha, Jacqueline, and Rebecca, but Rebecca is the one that Eric is with. I have no idea who that girl is, but I completely agree. She's very familiar, and I want to say it's because she's going to be in a future episode. That's why she looks so familiar. But yeah, this episode was all about the couples. We saw a lot of MOing, a lot of making out in hallways. Certainly would not have been allowed in my high school. Just saying, like, I feel like we would have gotten the like leave room for Jesus talk, you know, in the hallway if I had done any of this. But we start off with couples making out. Corey and Sean are like hardcore creeping, just like watching this all, which I thought was weird.
I think there's a lot of weird stuff in this episode. And speaking of making out, I'm wondering, like, when I went to school, it was 6th through 8th grade, and then high school was 9 through 12. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird that they're considered high school when they're only in 7th grade, because when I was in 7th grade, I would take my stuff to my last class with me so I wouldn't have to see my boyfriend after school because I was, like, afraid to even look at him. But then, like, so I would not want to make out with anyone. But then in high school, I definitely would make out with my boyfriend in the hallway. And, like, looking back, it makes me cringe so hard that I would do that. Yeah. Well, like, as a teacher, I'm a teacher now, so thinking about watching kids make out, like, that just makes me want to throw up.
How? What grade do you teach?
Oh, I teach elementary school. Oh, well, yeah. So it's not going to
really be off limits then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this pairing off thing was totally a thing that happened. I mean, for me, I remember it more so. It started in 6th grade, and it really, like, took off in 7th grade. But I remember people were definitely pairing off in 6th grade, and I was just, like, left in the dust. Like, no prospects available at all. Because I was such a loser.
No. No, I think that, like, yeah, so basically the whole gist of it is there's these couples where it's like they just sprout up out of nowhere. It's like, oh my gosh, Becky and Joey are like together now. Oh yeah, that it just happened. Didn't you see it? That just happened right in front of us. And I felt like when there were couples in my high school and in middle school, I had the same thing, like 6th through 8 and then 9th through 12. And I felt like there were couples. It was always like you kind of saw it coming. And people dated forever. Like, there were, like, serial monogamists in my school. It was not the, like, jumping from person to person. It was, like, you dated for, like, 4 years. But Feeny comes down, and Corey's like, oh, Feeny, aren't you going to break them up or hose them down? And Feeny is like, oh, no, they're both A-minus students, and they're struck by Cupid. Like, they can, like, put each other's tongues in their mouths all they want because they're A students. Like, what kind of ass-backwards logic is this, Kayla, from Feeny?
I've been noticing a lot, and I can get more into it later, that I take such issue with so many of the things that he does as a teacher and principal and that other teachers do. It's just kind of gross that he's having that conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And then Corey telling him that he wants a hickey. Like, why are you telling your principal that?
Yeah, no, that is so bizarre. Feeny, once again, outing everybody's grades. Like, not cool, Feeny.
This is what Feeny does. Mm-hmm.
This is his favorite hobby, is telling everybody else's business. And, yeah.
He's a shamer.
He's a shamer. He's a great shamer. You know, there's stuff that, like, probably would stick with me forever. And the things that, if I was Corey, Feeny's words would stick with me forever. Mm-hmm. But
traumatizing.
Even so much so that Corey says that he can't even get a handshake with the grades that he gets.
That was so funny. He's like, with your grades, you can't even shake hands. Like, that was so fantastic. And this is like, this is just like Corey. This is exactly what he did with Topanga, where he's like, he doesn't want to feel left out. He doesn't want to feel left behind. So he's like, I don't want a girlfriend. I just want, like, a girl who's, like, a friend. And, of course, in walks Topanga. Yeah, a girly friend. And in walks Topanga, of course, who's, like, way out of his league. Let's be real. Like, she is extremely out of Corey's league at this point.
Yeah, like by the day, she is more and more out of Corey's league. Like, and I feel like it's so weird. We definitely missed some summer hanging outs because when we left season one, they were like, oh, Topanga's like a weirdo. And now like Topanga's like hot shit, which obviously she is. But I think that they, but now they're friends. Like, I think that they're, we missed some like key summer hangouts where, you know, now Corey wouldn't mind walking life together with Topanga.
They did have a date in the first season, too, so I'm wondering what happened after that.
That's a good point. I wonder if they, like, went to camp together, because, like, there's always, like, that, like, camp romance, you know? So maybe that's what happened. But it's, like, funny because Corey's like, oh, may I call you honey? And she's like, no, Corey, stop it. Stop calling women honey. And she's like, oh, can I call you butthead? And I was like, yes, Topanga, I'm here for this.
That was so funny.
Yeah, she's so
I'm
good.
I'm still tracking her transition from her straight hippie girl into actually being kind of normal. And I wondered when they thought they were going to make that transition, because in the first season, she wasn't even a regular. Like, Minkus was the one that was supposed to be this big character. And then they're like, move over, Minkus. Topanga's in town. We got shit that we're going to do with her.
Yeah, I think we're still kind of in the middle phase, because she's like, we have kind of fully transitioned away from hippie Topanga. She hasn't had any like hippie-ish lines so far in two episodes. Mm-hmm. And like the main thing we see from her is she's like, listen, we have a friendship that could last a lifetime. We don't want to lose that. And I'm like, and like you were saying, like, when did that happen?
What,
like,
friendship?
When are you friends?
Yeah.
Maybe it was the
foreshadowing.
Yeah, maybe it was the boobs. Like, the boobs came and the weirdness left.
yes. And then we go to health class, which is a like class we've never seen before. Just kind of highlights the like hormonal transitions they're all going through. And I'm sorry, but all of the subs that this high school gets are like really good looking. Like, we talked about Mrs. Chappelle.
Yeah. It's because Feeny does the hiring. So like whenever Feeny sees like a hot girl, he's like, yeah, she could sub for us. Feeny's still trying to look for Mrs. Feeny number two. So he's on the hunt. He's on the prowl. It's disgusting. But yeah, Miss Kelly is like a boss ass bitch. And Sean is like instantly like smitten with her. I don't know. What do you think, Kayla, of Sean's attempt to woo Miss Kelly?
Let me pull up my notes, because I had some thoughts during this scene. First off, I, of course, had major crushes on some of my teachers in seventh grade, but never would I have the freaking audacity to hit on them ever, especially in front of the whole class. Like, that was just disgusting, and it just made me think, like, sometimes it's hard to watch these shows and just think about how they're not aging well. Like, I really want to enjoy it. But this episode in particular, there were so many moments where I'm like, I can't ignore this. And this was definitely one of those scenes. And I feel like she just can't be taken seriously at her job because she's conventionally attractive. And I feel bad for her.
Very true.
I, like, speaking of gonads, like, Sean has, like, the biggest pair to even attempt to hit on Miss Kelly. Like, he tries to pretend he's like 23 or something, as if like, we've talked about this on Dawson's Creek, but as if like failing class is like attractive. Like, he's trying to, you know, get away with that. And my favorite, maybe my favorite line of the episode was when, Corey is like, she asked Corey, oh, like, where are the eggs or something? He's like, oh, they're in the gonads or something. What's the female reproductive system, the gonads. And then he says the egg slides down the Philippine tube, and I died. I mean, he's not far off,
not
but
far
I died.
Off. I think Corey explains pregnancy and ovulation better than most men could in 2021. I'm sure if I go to my fiance right now and it's like, explain how ovulation works, he would be done. I don't even know if he knows what Philippine tube is.
Have you seen the I don't know if it was a trend on TikTok or on like YouTube or what it was, where it's like you're supposed to ask your like significant other who's a man, so boyfriend, husband, whatever, how pads work.
Yeah. No, or that, or my favorite was the trend that was going around where you have to ask, like, what the S or the R on a tampon means. Kayla, did you see that going around?
No, that's funny, though. I like that a lot. I remember in high school, we were juniors, I think. One of my friends, he was a guy, and I had to explain to him that girls did not pee out of their butts.
Yes,
like, pee out of their men butts. Men are so misinformed. It's they ridiculous.
I don't even know how many holes there are down there, yeah. To be honest. They're just like, there must just be one.
Yeah, I would understand, like, them not understanding that we don't pee out of our vagina, but the fact out of the butts?
You don't pee out of your butt, sir. Why would I?
Yeah, why would we pee out of our butts? Yeah. That is insane.
He needs to go to this health class.
This is the thing, is like, men just don't get, I think children in general probably don't get adequate, like, sex education.
And I'll tell you why. Because, like, the other day when we were talking about where they separated the females and the men in health class, right, in the reproduction. Did they do that for you, Kayla? Did you guys have, like, when you guys had, like, the sex talk in middle school, like, did they separate boys and girls, or did they do it together?
I honestly don't even remember having the sex talk or, like, learning about sex at all. I just know everything that I learned from MTV because I watched it way too young. Yes. And in fifth grade, we had to watch a video, but that was just about getting, yes, our periods, and it was called The Movie. Yes. And girls watched their, yes, movie, boys,
that's
watched
what I'm talking about.
Their,
yes,
the movie. Okay. That movie is funny.
Did they? Was there pancake? Was there, like, the pancake ovaries, or was that? There's this movie, what, where I told you this, Jessica. There's this movie where the woman is explaining fallopian tubes and ovaries, and they make, like, a pancake diagram, and then, oh, they eat the pancakes afterwards. I told you that.
That's fucked up. That's weird.
I know. I was looking for the movie. I was hoping show you.
I don't know about that.
Nowhere to be seen. But Corey has a personal question, and he, like, summons Miss Kelly, and he's like, how do I get a girl to say hi? A good question, maybe. Maybe not appropriate for Miss Kelly, but a good question in general. Very innocent, at
how
least.
How do you get a girl to say hi?
Yeah, I think, like, honestly, I feel like girls always wonder, like, the same thing, and the trick is, like, just say hi to them. Just introduce yourself. Just be like, hi, I'm Corey. Nice to meet you. You know, do you want to, like, have a conversation? I don't know. I feel like when you're a kid, though, it feels, like, so much bigger than that. Like, it just feels, like, so daunting to even think about approaching someone that you're interested in. And I think that Corey's problem is that he's not interested in anybody. He just wants to, like, right, fit in. So he feels, right, like, I need to make out with somebody. I need to get a hickey by the end of the year, or I'm, like, done. So, I don't know. I feel bad for Corey, but I also just feel like, Corey, like, slow down. Like, enjoy your childhood. You're not Sean, you know? You're not there yet.
I can't believe they let a 13-year-old say the word hickey on this television show. Like, I mean,
I like it, that they just go for it.
Exactly. But it wouldn't happen now. That's the thing. Like, it would not happen now.
Yeah.
Not on a children's show, no.
No. And as much as, like, it is forward to have this, like, conversation in this class of reproductive health, I read that this health class scene was actually, like, really heavily edited when the show went to syndication. So, one step forward, two steps back, like usual.
I thought it was funny that she asked, does anyone have any questions, after all she did was flirt with Sean and then talk to Corey, and then, like, the class was over. She's like, okay, you understand how sex works now?
Anybody have any questions? We learned, like, all, yeah, about ovaries and Philippine tubes.
All the questions, actually. She didn't even correct him. So now all the other kids are going to be like, yeah, no clue. Don't know what that means.
Yeah, she, like, it's...
And they're going to grow up and think all this misinformation.
She did the worst thing. Like, usually subs at least, like, throw a movie on. Like, she didn't even do that. Like, it's, like, the bare minimum. Nothing.
It's a lot of responsibility to put on the substitute teachers. Mm-hmm. Like, being like, okay, instead of me giving out, like, a pop quiz or putting on a movie, I'm going to teach you how the reproductive system works. And I'm only going to see you for the next 2 days. And then otherwise, besides that, someone else is going to have to pick up the pieces. Good luck.
I also thought it was a little interesting when she was like, you'll have a brighter future if you don't mix up gonads and ovaries. I'm like, what is she trying to imply here? It seemed like she was trying to imply something. Yeah. And I'm like, it didn't like, am I missing it? Or is this joke weird for her to say to a
considering
child?
It was a like, saucy joke.
Yeah, considering also like what we saw last episode with like being called gay, like a negative thing, it wouldn't surprise me if like that was the insinuation as well. Mm. Just because it is such a like, it was not treated with any type of grace back in those days.
I didn't notice that in the last episode. I wonder if like what I was watching was edited.
Well, if you were watching on Disney Plus, it would have been there. It was basically when Frankie and what's the other guy's name? Frankie Stakino. Joey. Joey says something like says something to him, and then Joey says or Frankie says, "Oh, what does that mean? I'm gay?" And then he like walks away, and it was treated like, "Oh, it's you're calling me an insult," essentially.
Big yikes.
Does not age well, like we were saying. But Corey, now we're back in the hallway. Corey still doesn't understand how couples just keep happening all over the place. We see Mr. Turner and Miss Kelly are paired up. Mr. Feeney and another random old lady are paired up.
I can see Mr. Turner and Miss Kelly working out. I don't know about you guys, but I think I'm standing that couple.
Mr. Turner, that's the tweet, just right there.
Absolutely. We're done. We're
co-signed.
Love Mr. Turner. Yes.
Their children would have the most beautiful black curly hair that any person has ever seen. Mm-hmm. I love Mr. Turner. That's the thing. It's like we're very much OG Zaddy Allen stans. But then you bring in Mr. Turner and it's like, come on, you know.
Then what are we supposed to do?
You just
There's
have to
nothing
give in.
To be done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this I love because this is the first time I feel like this is like becomes a very common trope in Boy Meets World where Corey asks Sean like, oh, how do you do it? And Sean does the move of like tossing his hair back with one hand, which immediately gets the attention of a girl. And then he's like, okay, I'm still young enough. I can do this. And he does the two-handed move. And he's like, yeah, I have a 30-foot range. And I loved this joke. This was so funny to me.
Definitely like too cool for me to even process. And it works. Like he gets like two girls, but and I think like the swoopy hair is like definitely would get the girls. Corey tries it too, but like Topanga thinks that he has head lice.
I feel
so bad. He is like he still cannot get over the fact that he has curly hair. And it's something that's going to plague him forever. I'm sorry. He needs the curly girl method.
I was just distracted in this scene by the people hanging out on the trash can. I thought that was so gross. That's all I was watching.
What were they doing in the trash can? Were there people making out on the trash can?
No, not making out, surprisingly. They were just leaning on it.
Ew. No. I don't hang out on trash cans.
Not a school trash can. No, thank you.
No, not a school trash can.
Those are not clean.
Not at all, no. Hardly anything in a high school is clean, especially not a trash can. Do we think that Corey just needs to, like, embrace the curl and, like, grow it out a bit? There was a kid I went to high school with who had, like, gorgeous curly hair. I feel like if he let it grow, I don't maybe it would just fro up.
No, I'm telling you. I told you this in the beginning. If he grows out his hair like Ethan Zahn in Africa, then we're done. Like, the end of story. Then he would get all the girls because Ethan Zahn is the reason why I find curly hair on a man so attractive. Mm-hmm. And that made me like Corey's curly hair, too. It was like a 1-2 punch for me.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah. But I think so. I think he needs to grow it out. And then he needs some, like, hair oils. I don't know what Ethan does to make it work so well. Mm-hmm. But that's what he needs.
Yeah. I think Corey just grew up, like, maybe 5 to 10 years too early for that. Because I remember that was a phase in, like, the early 2000s, like, the curlier, like, mm-hmm. luscious hair. But unfortunately for Corey, he has it short, and Topanga thinks he has lice. And then, of course, all she does is throw a little bit of hair over her shoulder, and a guy just comes up and grabs her. That's all it takes.
I was just thinking about you.
Kayla, is that how you got a boyfriend in sixth grade? Because that was a flex, and I'm pretty jealous about that. Was it? Did you just do a hair flip?
Oh, hell no. If I look back at myself in sixth, seventh grade, I'm surprised that anyone gave me the time of day. I actually made the first move on my boyfriend we met in seventh grade. we had language arts together, and every Friday someone got to sit on the couch for free reading time, and you got to invite someone to sit with you, and I got picked, and I invited him to come sit with me.
What a power move. What a boss-ass bitch. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
That is truly a power move, because, like, if it's me, I'm picking, like, my bestie. Like, I'm not fucking around and taking a risk. No, I'm not. Oh, my God.
And then what happened? What happened on the reading sofa then?
I think we just read. I don't remember. There weren't, like, blankets or anything. We couldn't, like, you know, get any riskier. Yeah.
You know what? Okay, so they're in 7th grade. Now, this happened to me in 5th grade, so maybe it's too juvenile for them. But whatever happened to the, like, the note that, like, you pass your friend and then your friend passes it to their friend and their friend passes it to them. And it's like, oh, I think you're cute. Do you want to go out? Check yes or no. Like, are they too old for this? Because that was my thing.
I don't think so. I was going to say that that's how I think most of my friends got together in junior high, is they would just write someone a note and say, I like you, let's date, and then never talk again, and then forget we're dating, and then do it all over again.
That was the move. When I was in, gosh, I think it was 5th grade. It had to be 5th grade. There was, like, my bestie. It was, like, her cousin, kind of. And I wrote, like, a note, and it got passed to him. And I remember it used to be a challenge to see how small you could write. Like, that was the thing back in the day. Then it was before, like, bubbly letters came in, and those were in. And you wrote, like, so, so, so tiny. And I remember passing him notes, and I remember, like, showing him I liked him by chasing him around at recess and kicking him. Like, maybe a year or two too old to do that, but I definitely did.
Yeah, that was
the thing. That sounds like something Morgan would do.
Yeah. Morgan has a bit of an aggressive streak now.
I like it.
She reminds me of me. Like,
yeah.
She's probably a fire
sign.
Whenever
she talks, I'm like, that's something I would do.
Yeah, I think she probably is.
She has to be a fire sign.
Yeah. So, Eric brings home this new girl, Rebecca, and asks Amy not to embarrass him. And, you know, Amy makes her jokes that he wet the bed till 12. I mean, we all do. Sure. I don't know.
That was, like, quite a thing for her to say to some new girl. Like, that was a bit harsh.
She was joking.
Also, did you recognize her? Did you recognize who played Rebecca?
No. Who is she?
She also was in Mighty Ducks. And she was in Wet Hot American Summer. So she's been around.
Yeah, you're really going to make me watch Mighty Ducks soon. I just feel it.
It is a classic 90s film.
So. I've seen it before. It's not like I haven't, but, like, I haven't seen it since the 90s.
I mean, I haven't either. So I think it would be part of our sports month where we start our sports podcast.
Help me, please.
So now Morgan is, like, quite aggressive, like we were saying. And it's like, you're not allowed to call me Weasel. I'm going to call you Weasel. She's in her cute little soccer getup, and, like, she learns, like, oh, you're not supposed to kick the coach. And I'm just like, I love this version of Morgan. Like, she can get it.
So, yeah, we're liking Morgan. The first season, we felt like she was a little screamy with her lines, but we love this version of Morgan. I think that I like the improvements that Morgan did. Maybe Morgan got an acting coach. Who knows?
Yeah, Kayla, what did you think of? Because you said you just rewatched season one. So what were your impressions on Morgan?
I really liked her. I thought, like, she's 5 or younger, so her lines are very scripted. And I was impressed that she could recite them like that. But then in this episode, I was laughing out loud where she was like, I'm going to call you Weasel. And then the whole kicking the coach thing, because I feel like I would have kicked my soccer coach. I used to kick people randomly, and my mom would get really mad at me. She's like, you can't do that. And I'm like, why not? They made me mad. I would just, like, kick my family members. Like, I kicked my grandpa one time and my cousin. So I just relate to her right now, I guess.
Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I'm the baby of 4.
Oh, wow.
How many of the
siblings? I feel like that stokes the fire flames even more.
How many of your siblings did you kick?
I don't know if I ever kicked my siblings. I have 2 brothers and a sister. I got along with my brothers, but my sister, she was kind of scared of me. Like, if I started chasing her, and she's older, obviously, and she'd be like, Mom! I hope I'm not as scary now. I am not the same Kayla I used to be as a little child.
Your older sister probably deserved it.
A lot of older siblings deserve it. So
agreed.
So Rebecca asks for a house tour, at which point the audience is like, woo.
Wait, and also the audience wooed at the hickey thing too. The audience is always so thirsty. Horny.
Yeah, they're very thirsty.
Always.
And she wants to like see the upstairs, like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. This is when Sean and Corey come home. Corey's upset that he like doesn't have the hair to get the girls. Sean is like, well, okay, then I'll see you later. If you're going to do homework, I'm going to leave, because he opens the door, tosses his hair, and they're like, hey, is that you, Sean?
This was so funny. This is so funny. This is like the Boy Meets World that like, you know, and love, you know, this is why season two is so good. So he ditches Corey, like, and Corey is like, okay, like, I give up on girls. Like, obviously, this isn't for me. I'm going to study and get good grades and go to a good college, and then I'll build a wife. I don't think so, because Corey gets bored after, like, 1 minute of studying.
Yeah, I feel like this is way early, though, for Sean to be ditching Corey for girls. Like, he doesn't even have a girlfriend yet, and he's already ditching Corey for girls.
Well, he's like, he's already behind, like, all the other kids, like Michael and Peter or whomever. They all have girls. He's a step behind.
Kayla, would the hair swoopy technique, would that have worked on seventh grade Kayla back in the day?
It would probably still work now. It just reminds me, do y'all watch How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
It just reminds me of, like, the last season, whenever they say Mandy Patinkin and all the old people come running. That's what this reminds me of. Like, the radius. Like, he does it, and then it just happens.
Yeah, that's his calling card. And I think it's funny because, like, I love the way that, like, Eric and Sean are so similar and they're not related. And they both have the very, like, swoopy, like, straight, luscious hair. And poor Corey got his hair from Alan's side of the family and just can't do the swoopy thing. So poor Corey, he decides he's going to study, and then he hears noise upstairs. So he goes to check it out, thinking it's his parents, because he hears it in his parents' bedroom. So it makes sense. Which he shouldn't just be walking into his parents' bedroom either.
That's what I said. Like, if the door is closed, then you have to at least knock. Like, you don't just go running into your parents' bedroom.
Yeah.
And the sexy music? Like, did that not give it away? Yeah.
They should have put a sock on the door, I guess.
Yeah, he definitely needs a sock on the door.
Yeah.
So he walks in on Rebecca and Eric making out, and Eric is like, I'm studying. And then fucking Corey says, so am I. What the actual fuck is this?
Such like, a no. Creep.
Gross.
This is not right. And Rebecca gets so skeeved out by all this, and she just, like, leaves. Like, she's like, I'm done.
I mean, you blame her? Like, I feel like I would have done the same thing.
I would have been grossed out. But why do you guys think that she's so butthurt? Like, you know, like, I feel like she's like, she's like, our date is called off on Friday. Like, we're done. Like, is Eric a shitty kisser? That's my ultimate question.
That's the only explanation, because I had the same question. I was like, why the 180?
I think that, okay, so in my mind, it's that, like, Corey walks in on them, and then she doesn't, I feel like she thinks Corey's going to tattle on them, and she doesn't want to be around for the fallout. Like, that was my guess, right? Like, there's nothing, and maybe she wasn't even interested in, like, pursuing a relationship with Eric, per se. Could have just been like, I want a makeout session. Sounds great. But if she was, like, I feel like she's like, oh, my gosh, his parents are never going to, like, accept me in their household after this whole situation. But, I mean, they're on his parents' bed. Like, that is a power move to do first time you make out with somebody. Not even on the couch. Like, straight to the bedroom.
Yeah. Like, she's so bold. Like, she books it to the bedroom, and we hear later on that she does like a little come hither moment and pats the bed. Like,
yes,
that is very bold. Mm-hmm. And I still don't get why. I think we talked about this, what was it, Dawson's Creek, Jess, where we're like, why, who wants to make out on their parents' bed.
Yeah.
Like, this gross. Is not a thing.
Not in my household. It definitely wasn't a thing. Kayla, you have older siblings. Did you ever walk in on, like, one of your siblings, like, making out with, like, a significant other?
No, but I used to pester my brother and his girlfriend. We have a basement, and so I would always just, like, go down to the basement when they were there. And now that I'm older, I realize they were very upset with me for doing that. No, I would even, like, go outside and peek in the windows and, like, try and catch them kissing.
No, Kayla, the basement's a sacred place. The basement is
Yeah. That is so funny.
You're not a teenager. I just don't get to at least second base in an attic or a basement. Like, that's where you go for that.
I don't understand. I get he has a twin bed and his room is very kid-like, but I would just not want to do anything sexual on my parents' bed. Yeah.
No.
No thanks.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It just seems disgusting. And so Eric is, like, pissed. He's like, I'm going to kill you, Corey. And then Corey immediately, like, again, Corey is not always the smartest in school, but he immediately is like, I have you. I have you by your ovaries. Like, you are making out on mom and dad's bed. I have you. And so then, of course, Eric is like, oh, shit. Like, you're right. And Corey's like, listen, you can make it up to me. How do you get a girl to say hi? And Eric says he has to use his eyes and stare through a girl, make eye contact. You have to make her think you're interested. You don't necessarily have to be interested. You just have to make them think you are. I feel like half of this advice is good and half of it is trash.
It was going up, 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 up when he's like, yeah, like, look at her, like, make her think that she's the most exquisite thing you've ever seen. Like, I was like, yes, Eric, like, yeah, okay. And then he's like, you don't even have to be interested in her. Like, it just has to be whomever. It's like, what? Wait, back up. No. So I also like how Eric's like, yeah, like, you're wasting my time. Like, this is small potatoes. And Corey's like, yeah, I don't have the lung capacity to do what you were doing with Rebecca. Oh my gosh. So what do you, Kayla, think of Eric's foolproof method to get girls?
I had the same exact thoughts as both of you. When he started talking, I was like, yeah, that would actually work. Look at them, make them feel like they're seen. But then his whole point was, they're not really seen. You're just doing whatever. My favorite part of this scene was when he was like, you have what I have. Nothing.
I loved that. I had that written down too, is like, you know, one of my favorite parts of the scene. This was a very good scene. It was funny. It was well written. We might not agree with Eric and his method to get girls. I mean, not going to lie, it does work, but yeah,
but I think Corey takes it a little bit too literally, because he's like staring at Wendy all like all freaking class. He's staring at her. I don't think that's exactly what Eric meant. I felt like Eric meant like you just have to like look at her and like, pay attention to her. Yeah. Get her eyes to look at you, not just stare at her all class long. And of course, Mr. Turner like yells at him because he's like not paying attention. But I did think he did like he did a good job, and he complimented her hair. He said, your hair is exquisite. He asked her on a date. She says yes. So I guess like it did work, but I feel like it wouldn't work on all girls. Like, it worked on Wendy. Is this kind of move, Kayla, does this move work on Topanga, do you think?
I think that it works when it's genuine, and Topanga is someone that could definitely see through the bullshit. So if he's just saying something to say it, she's not going to take it to heart. But if she can tell that he's being serious, then I think it would work. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
She did comb her hair differently this morning, so she probably appreciated that somebody noticed.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh my God, it worked. Thank you.
Yeah. Also, she's also like called the new girl. So I do think that she's in a particularly like vulnerable position of being new kid in class. Maybe she doesn't have a ton of friends. The fact that like someone is paying attention to her, who knows? Like, it could just be that as well. Cause I was like, I don't know, Corey. Like, you did like half of it right, maybe. Like, you get like 50%, I think.
He was proud of himself, and he left that room, like, really happy, especially since Sean gave him major props. Mm-hmm. And So he got the date.
Good for Corey.
Good for Corey.
This next scene was one of my favorites in the episode. We're in, it's Amy and Alan in their bedroom. Amy is wearing what Alan calls flannel armor because it is like the oldest like looking nightdress I've ever seen. Like it's like rodeo nightdress, like mismatched like flannel patterns. He says she's looking positively Amish. very funny. He obviously is particularly thirsty tonight.
Yeah, but this is the type of nightgown that you wear when you don't want to get fucked at all. So
100%. This is like I'm on my period nightgown.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I don't know if this is, we're going to have to track this, but I saw a trivia note that this is the only time in the entire series that we see Alan and Amy's bedroom, which if that's the case, that's wild.
Okay, something to think about.
Yeah, also, Amy seems to have switched from a real estate agent to now a gallery owner slash art dealer. So what the heck, Amy? You didn't tell me that you switched careers. But she is stressed because she has 3 busloads of garden club ladies coming to the gallery. And when I heard them, I'm like, what fucking gallery? Like, what are you talking about? And the paintings are a little risque, unlike Amy's outfit, which is the opposite of risque.
I was just going to say that this scene actually frustrated me a little bit, maybe because it felt a little too real at times. Like, I get it was supposed to be jokey, but years and years of marriage, I could see how, like, if he's like that every night, it would be really frustrating. Like, let me wear whatever the fuck I want. I'm not obligated to get groped by you every night. She was trying to talk about his day, and all he wanted to do is kiss. And it's like, if that was me, I wouldn't just be like, okay, fine, let's just make out. I'd be like, no, fucking listen to me. I'm trying to tell you something. Yeah. I'm stressed out.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's like, the minute he's, like, tugging on her, like, a flannel armor, I'm just like, Alan, like, back the fuck up, calm down, she's not into it tonight, like, go jerk off in the bathroom and leave her alone, like, seriously, give her some space. Real. And so it's, yeah, it is kind of funny, but they start, like, eventually, I don't know, I guess he wears her down. I feel like this is the age of, like, we're not as much female empowered as much in this stage, right? Like, I feel like if this was like a 2000s show, it's handled differently. But they start making out. Amy finds an earring, and I kind of liked this part. I know it's not the most kosher thing in the world, but basically Amy immediately writes off that it could be like someone that Alan is like cheating on her with, and Alan is like insulted. He's like, you think I'm safe? You don't think I could get someone young and hot? And I love that he tells a story of a young blonde woman came into the grocery store and asked him if the bread was fresh. And I died at the line.
If that's not come to the car and let's go to the local motel, then I don't know what is. Is the bread fresh? Excuse me, are you fresh? Yeah, he's like at first offended that she does not think that he could cheat on her, but he also doesn't want to seem like he did anything. But ultimately Amy realizes that it's like the earring is like some cheap ass crap, only something a teenager would wear. So Kayla, what do you think about Amy letting wanting to both talk to Eric versus Alan just talking to Eric?
So I feel like I was just so frustrated by this whole episode, and it just keeps happening. I get where she's coming from. Like, I can't imagine how, first of all, how hard it would be to parent with someone that is just, like, self-centered and sensitive as Alan. Like, her feelings didn't matter, but all of a sudden, when he's feeling some type of way, everything needs to stop. You need to cater to him. And I just can't imagine being proud of my son for doing something sexual with somebody else. Like, my son, you know? That's just weird.
It's very creepy. It's weird. Like, it's, yeah. And I think this is, it's so weird going from season one Alan to season two Alan. I feel like season one Alan is much more, like, fatherly, like, not as much, like,
jokey. Like, he's very all about the lessons, right? And obviously there is still a lesson in this episode, but like Amy even says, I don't want the father son wink wink thing. Like, it's something to be proud of. And like you were saying, Kelly, he goes like, my son. Like, it's creepy to ever think that you'd be proud of your child for having like sex when they're a teenager with some random girl who you obviously don't really know. Not that that's a big deal, but I just think it's weird that
in your bed,
of all places. Like, yeah. I feel like Alan realistically should be upset, if for nothing else than for the fact that Eric was about to have sex in his bed. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me, Kayla. Like, I don't get that.
I definitely don't think that you should ever shame kids for things like that, because I think it's normal. Yeah. But to be proud of them, like, there's definitely a middle ground, and yes, he could have gone to the middle ground.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that this is such a delicate age of 16 that they can really get a weird perspective if you discipline too hard or shame them for wanting to do something that's perfectly natural. But yeah. No, of course, we don't want you to like be rooting on your kid for having sex at 16 in your own bedroom. You know, educate, but not like, you're not their friend, you're their father, yada yada yada.
At least, I feel like Alan does the right thing in this next part, where they go in to talk to Eric and they find out that that not only did, obviously, Eric was making out with a girl in his parents' bed, but Eric taught Corey how to get what he wants from a girl. Corey doesn't even know her name. Eric has a foolproof plan. And I love how Eric is like, ring, ring, trying to get their that attention. Was funny. But I think that, like, it's nice that at least Alan is, like, upset at that part. Like, what are you teaching him, Eric? Like, he needs to know the girl's name. Do you even know Rebecca's, like, last name? Learn her name. I feel like at least Alan redeems himself there a little bit. And Eric's singing Amazing Grace because he knows he's in trouble. Alan basically is like, you need to learn more about Rebecca. Don't give Corey any advice. And Amy says, you know, Corey, if you need advice, go to your father. Is this the right strategy, Kayla, for Corey to be going to Alan for this type of thing?
I think not, because I'm wondering, is the advice that he gives Corey going to be better than what Eric told him? I think that he could even come to his mom for that kind of stuff. And I think that in that moment, they could have given them advice on the spot instead of just yelling at them, because it did feel very shameful. And I mean, like, at the end you realize Corey did learn a lesson, because of course it's a TV show, but I think that they could have been more explicit in what they were saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, I mean, I think that you, to an extent, you want Corey to go to his brother for some advice, even if, like, I mean, this wasn't the best advice, but also, like, Corey and Eric are not the closest of brothers, and encouraging them to not have, like, bonds like that is only going to make them even more, like, apart, like, not connected with each other. I think it was good. Like, I liked seeing Corey go to Eric for, like, advice, and Eric, you know, Eric kind of helped him. I mean, kind of not, but I think that I would, like, if I had two children, I would want them to have a connection with each other and go to each other for help. Right, Jess? Like, I mean, you and I don't go to our siblings for help, so.
No, but I think it's a little bit different here. I just think that, like, obviously Eric didn't learn enough from Alan, and so then if Alan was teaching him this, I would hope not, but, like, so then it's hard for them, like, Eric to give Corey the same terrible advice that somehow Eric learned along the way. I also think it's tricky to bring this up to a parent. Like, I feel like they'd be better off finding someone closer to Corey's age to give him advice. Or maybe, like, don't tell Corey not to go to Eric, but have a conversation with both Corey and Eric. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what I mean? Like, I like to hope that it's late at night, they're not about to impart words of wisdom on their children before bed. I like to pretend that, like, the next day they had a better talk with them and sat them down and were like, mm-hmm, this is how you should treat women. Don't stare at them and pretend you like them. Actually genuinely be interested if you're going to pursue somebody. At least, mm-hmm,
Corey somehow gets some advice and takes it and rolls with it, because we see the next day him and Wendy are like gonna go out on this date. He asks if she feels funny about it, and she says, yeah, you know, we don't really know each other that well. And Corey asks, oh, do you want to go talk instead? And then we finally learn her name is Wendy. I can't even believe that he would ask her out without even knowing her name. Like, what do you even say? Like, hey, you, how you doing? Like, it's so awkward.
I know. I mean, at least he could have asked around and gotten her name. Or, like, doesn't Mr. Turner take attendance? Like, couldn't he paid attention to what her name, because I'm sure Wendy's in the same homeroom too. Like, it, once again, Corey's just doing the bare minimum. Like, he could have figured it out. He probably could have asked Topanga and gotten the name. So yeah, kind of a blunder. But Kayla, what did you think of this little interaction with Wendy and Corey when they broke off the date?
I liked that he was honest with her and that she was honest with him back. It kind of made me laugh, though, because they basically planned a date after they had just canceled their date. Yes. Because then they still went and hung out anyway. Yeah.
But it's like, it's not a date. It's just like
it's the same Topanga Corey date. It's the same thing.
Yeah. No pressure.
No prush.
But if someone didn't know my name, I'd be so offended and embarrassed. I'm just a super observant person, so I couldn't imagine being in a class with someone and just not knowing who they are.
Right, so. I know.
And he's like, do you even know my name?
Yeah. He's like, no. It's like, I would be like, okay, then boy, bye.
Yeah. And I did love the, like, after credit scene, because I do think we're getting more into the territory of, like, Eric and Corey actually becoming friends, because first season was very antagonistic, I think. And this season, like, we see they're doing their homework together in their bedroom. Eric asks Corey how his date was. Corey said it was good. Corey said he was, like, really nervous. He nodded a lot. And Eric's like, oh, that worked? And he's like, yeah, she said she'd like to go out again. He's like, how did you nod? Did you do it this way? Did you do it that way? Like, it was cute that, like, now Eric is attempting to learn from Corey. Has nodding ever gotten you a second date, Kayla? Just nodding vigorously.
You know, I can't say that would work if that was all that there was.
I need a little bit more.
It makes me wonder if this is the beginning of the transition from Eric being very cool to being weird, because he always kind of seemed like the big man on campus, and all of a sudden he needs his seventh grade brother's advice on how to talk to a
girl.
But
also, he got his first relationship advice ever from Corey. In like the second episode or whatever, or was it the first episode where like Corey's like, oh, you should go to a movie and a date, movie and dinner. And Eric was like, oh, that's a great idea. It's like, bitch, like, that's the easiest relationship advice you can ever get. That's mm-hmm. relationships 101, and an 11-year-old told you that. So
I think it's funny that Eric is touted as like such a ladies' man, and yet everything we've ever seen of him, like, he seems pretty awful with women. Like, has he ever actually had, like, a second date? Like, it seems like every woman has, like, dumped his ass, like, very early on in their relationship.
Yeah. I miss Linda.
Me too.
I just want Linda to come back.
Linda is definitely the best one. I wish they had brought her back for, like, a second guest spot. That would have been, even if just to, like, hang out with Morgan.
I agree.
That would have been fun.
I agree.
She was just there for the lesson, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah. That's true. They very much used Linda. They did.
I don't like that they used her.
Yeah.
She deserved better.
She really did. Linda was great.
I hope that Linda got with, like, a really popular, like, football player that's also really smart, and they're, like, applying to go to Yale together, and they're just living their best lives.
I love that for Linda.
I have great thoughts for the future for Linda. So best of luck wherever you are.
Write the fanfic.
I really liked this episode, like, generally speaking. Like, I think season two is already, like, funnier than season one is. I feel like the jokes are hitting. I feel like the characters are definitely kind of evolving a bit more. It did have some, like, issues, as we talked about, like, not exactly the best morals to be teaching young kids, but I think, like, the characters are developing in a way that I'm really enjoying so far in season two.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm really enjoying season two. I'm really excited to see what else is happening. I like that the writing is getting stronger. The acting, of course, is getting stronger. So a lot of good things. Kayla, what are you looking forward to the most in season two on your rewatch?
I honestly haven't rewatched it since I was in college. Yeah. And so when I watch an episode, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember all of this. But if I'm just sitting here thinking about it, I can't remember what's going to happen. So it's just nice when an episode comes up where I'm like, oh, yeah, I love this episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always exciting to see little bits and pieces that you're like, oh, I remember this. This was so funny. So I'm just really excited now that we're like in the nitty gritty of a later
season. Yeah, we're going to be getting into the more dramatic stuff soon. So yeah. That's very fun.
I also get a lot of fashion inspiration. I just want to put my hand through the screen and take out some of their outfits for myself. Yes. I love the 90s style. That's just all what I'm about.
As you're wearing tie-dye.
I'm Sean.
With a scrunchie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the uniform today, that's for sure.
And we're speaking about fashion, so let's get into our fashion hour. We had like so many outfits to choose from. I felt like this episode, I had a tough time at least narrowing down the Rachel Green Award because there were so many 90s outfits.
It was a plethora.
We are going to start with Topanga. So first nomination for Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. This is the one and only time we see Topanga this episode. This is what she's wearing. There is like so very much happening. Her dress is like a, I don't know, like it's like a weird pattern. It's not paisley, but it has a lot of swirls on it. It's kind of like a burnt orange red with like a yellow pattern. She's wearing, of course, a jean vest with it, denim vest. She's belted at the waist. And then the front of the dress kind of like cuts open in a V and has like this white frilly material coming off of it. She has her hair in kind of a similar style to last episode where it starts off kind of straight at the top and curls at the bottom. She has it pulled up, like half up, half down kind of look with a claw clip, classic 90s. And her feet, we have traded in the combat boots from season one for Tim's boots with like a white sock peeking over the top. Kayla, what are your thoughts on this outfit? Would you have plucked this off of the screen to wear it for yourself?
Bits and pieces. I'm definitely here for anything denim. I like the color of the dress, but not the pattern. And I'm here for the shoes. I don't know how I feel about the socks poking out, but I do like the shoes.
Yeah, the Timberlands are a classic. I think that she looks kind of cute. I mean, this is definitely an improvement from the doily dress. I really like her purple claw clip. I thought that just sent me over the edge. And, I mean, she kind of looks like she's trying to be a cowgirl. Like, is this not, like, a cowgirl outfit?
Yeah. I think my issue with it is, like, take out that white piece in the front and just let the dress be like I think it looks cute if it doesn't have that. I honestly do. I think that is what's ruining it for me. Also, I think it's because it's like a collared dress. I think if it doesn't have the collar and it's like maybe like a tank style with the vest, I think that's a cuter look. I love a belted waist though.
Yeah,
I'm definitely not vibing with her bangs either. I don't know what the hell is going on with those.
Is she has a short forehead. And so she has to have like the tiniest bangs. And it just looks weird.
Yeah, it does look a little suspect. I don't know. Yeah, she definitely looks like she's going to a hoedown. Like this is like an outfit that you wear to like the Sadie Hawkins dance that's like themed hoedown or like What's that dancing where like you're like in a line, line dancing? Line dance. Yeah, this is like what you would wear to like you know how the bars have like the line dancing nights on Friday nights. Like this is the outfit that you wear.
Yeah, she just needs to change the Timberlands for cowboy boots, and she's good.
And then she's there.
Yeah. Second up, we have Miss Wendy. This was the outfit she was wearing when Corey stares at her and compliments her. It's a very like poofy, just open slip dress. It's like a light blue with like a white pattern on it, kind of like a sleeve that goes down to the elbow, kind of a swoop neck, tiny, tiny watch on her wrist. I love that she's wearing what kind of look like a crossover between like a Converse and a Ked, with white socks. I love a sneaker with a dress. And her hair, again, she parted it differently today. Long, beautiful, like platinum blonde, straight, wispy looking. Sarah, what were your thoughts on this outfit? Mm.
She's giving me some bad bitch energy. Like, this girl would definitely bully me in the seventh grade. So, I mean, this outfit is sweet. It's like a sweet outfit. I like the shoe, the situation on the shoes. I do want to give her compliments for her new combing technique. I like her hair a lot as a blonde. It is very, I mean, I'm sure this is her natural hair, but like, this is like the type of blonde that if you're not going ashy, like, this is the perfect, like, warmer tone of blonde that I aspire to get to. But yeah, like, she looks like a popular girl in school. She looks like she would slip a note in my locker saying, like, you're a loser. And it's embarrassing that you wore the same shoes 3 days in a row. What do you think, Kayla?
I like her outfit. Definitely the shoes. Gen Z would not approve of her hair, but I'm here for it.
That's true. It's true. It's a side part. Incriminating.
It's a little wrinkly. I feel like the costume department could have ironed it for her, but I feel like I couldn't pull it off because the color's too light for me, but it works with her, like, skin tone and her hair color and everything. I think she looks super cute.
Yeah, I think the tough part for me would be, like, it would just look, I would look like a sack of potatoes. Like, I need definition in my clothes. Yeah. I need, like, a belted waist, like Topanga's rocking. Otherwise, I just look like a big sack of potatoes. So,
yeah.
But it looks cute on her. I love, like, a Ked sneaker with a dress. I think that's, like, it's a cute casual look.
Age appropriate.
So, exactly. And next up, we have the bad bitch herself, Rebecca, coming into town. This bitch, I saw this outfit and I was like, holy shit, there's so much happening. She's wearing like a mini skirt, like a gray mini skirt with, it looks kind of like it's pleated. She has on white tights / leggings, question mark. They're very opaque. And then she's wearing red socks with like a short leather, like a kind of like a booty but shorter, I'm not exactly sure, maybe Mary Jane's, tough to tell. She's wearing a red turtleneck, probably to hide all the hickeys that she has on that neck. And she's wearing what looks to be maybe a tweed, like, cropped jacket with kind of like lapels and buttons down the center, and of course those cheap ass earrings. So, Kayla, what are your thoughts on... Oh, and her hair is long, straight, brunette. Again, another side part would not fly today. Kayla, what do you think of bad bitch Rebecca?
I love her outfit. I love maroon, so I'm really vibing with this. And it looks like her shirt kind of is ribs, and I like that texture a lot. The only thing I would do to level this up is to not have white tights. That's just what throws the whole outfit off for me. But everything else I actually really like. And I would probably wear that today.
Yeah. I love this outfit. I mean, this, we just talked about Clueless. It's kind of giving me Clueless vibes / like... Blair Waldorf vibes as well. For me, the most incriminating thing about this outfit is her cheap ass earrings. Like, you know, this girl is not wearing those earrings. You know, she would never. This girl is wearing gold, small gold hoops or nothing else, or diamond studs that she got at her bat mitzvah. Like, let's be real. Let's be real. But no, I know this girl. This girl is like your friend's older sister that you're terrified of. Because she would murder you.
Yeah.
And she makes gives fun good, of you at your sleepovers.
She gives good, like, RBF. Like, she has, like, resting bitch face 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I love the outfit. I agree with you, Kayla. Like, take out the tights and I'm probably there for it. Like, or make them black. Or, you know what I mean? Like, do the tights that have, like, the line up the back. Like, that would look very good with this outfit.
Yeah.
Yes. So that is it for the Rachel Green Award. Who would you guys like to give it to? Topanga, Wendy, or Rebecca?
I'm leaning between Rebecca and Topanga. So what do you think, Kayla? Like, who do you think we should give our prestigious fashion award to?
I think that overall Rebecca's outfit works the most. And when I look at her, that looks like the most Rachel Green. I could see Rachel wearing that. I don't know if I could see Rachel wearing Topanga's outfit.
No, I don't think
that
so.
That is a fair assessment. I do think that Rachel would wear this outfit. Like, because it is kind of like businessy too. Like, I feel like she starts working at Ralph Lauren and she like rocks this. Again, no white tights, yeah, but no, rocks something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this outfit a lot. I think I agree, Kayla. This is like the clear winner for me.
All right. So congratulations, Rebecca. Up next, Paul Rudd's certificate of timelessness for the most timeless outfit. I only had two options here. I just felt like so many of the outfits were very 90s. I didn't want to force it. And I didn't want to pick something basic like what Eric wears, because it's honestly like he wears the same basic outfit every freaking episode. So first up, we have Amy. We have her soccer mom realness. She's sporting black denim, and on the top she has this like bright pink. It's not quite bubblegum, it's more salmon-y type of, I'm not sure exactly what type of pink, salmon-y bubblegum maybe, kind of like a crew neck sweatshirt. It's tucked in to the black jeans. I feel like we'd see more of a French tuck today than this actual fully tucked in. Her hair is very incriminating. It looks awful. It's very 90s, but what am I going to do? Shave her head? You know, like every episode we talk about how awful her hair is. Kayla, what are your thoughts on Amy's soccer mom realness outfit?
Okay, so Rebecca's who I want to dress like. Amy is who I do dress like. I never leave the house without a flannel. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, I'm not going to say I wear jeans a lot, but if I were going to wear jeans, they would be black denim. Yeah. I would definitely never be caught dead in pink unless it was a peachy sort of pink. I like her outfit minus not vibing with the pink, and agreed that her hair is a little sad, mm-hmm, but I feel like in the 90s that would be considered
exactly
cute.
That is the style, yeah, of the 90s, so it's hard to really fault her for it.
Yeah. I mean, am I wrong to say that a sweatshirt without a hood is the preferred sweatshirt these
You're
days?
You're wrong.
No hood, no, and hood.
Oh, in a fashion sense, then yes, you're right.
Right,
but
Kayla,
in living like, right, my like, life, I need a hood.
Kayla, you're not a millennial, right? Like, you're Gen Z.
I think I'm definitely in the middle.
She's like a cusper.
Yeah. Okay, so but you relate to the children. So, but they don't wear hooded sweatshirts anymore.
It's all
right?
Crew necks.
Like, it's all crew necks.
I mean, I think so. I personally don't like hoodies. I like crew necks. Yeah. And whenever I buy a sweatshirt, I can't buy ones that have pockets because I immediately cut the rib off the bottom so it can be cropped.
Yeah. So, yeah. So do this.
Whoa,
you'll crop
that's
it
a power
little
move.
Yeah. No, I think that if we crop this with the black jeans, then we're there. Right?
Or you French tuck it, I think. You could French tuck this sweatshirt as well.
I don't think you French tuck
or in a knot. A knot would be super cute.
Oh, the
cute.
Knot works too. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That I'm just like, it's hard to like say, because we could pick like an outfit that like Eric has and call it timeless and not need to make any adjustments, right? But I prefer to do ones that it's like, we could easily make this timeless, and I completely agree. I do prefer a hoodie mainly because women's clothing generally doesn't have pockets, and I need my hoodie pocket for 20,000 things that I have to
carry
around.
What are you putting in a hoodie pocket?
Like my phone. What if I'm going from like one
end
to the other?
They fall out. They fall out of the hoodie pocket.
What are you doing in your hoodie? Jumping jacks? Why is your phone falling out?
They slip out. It's not a safe place to put a phone.
I mean, I think it's fine. I have a case on my phone.
Maybe if you actually carried a purse, then you wouldn't have that problem.
Okay, Kayla.
My mom's not going to listen to this, so I can put her on blast a little bit. Yeah. So my mom just, like, never gets new clothes, really, until recently. And I definitely think if I went into my mom's closet right now, I could pull out Amy's outfit.
That 100%. Is fantastic.
I think I could do that.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That is great. I think, I feel like my mom has something like this. I don't think she'd wear black denim, though. I think she's definitely more of a blue denim kind
of
gal. But she definitely has something like
denim.
This sweatshirt. I like black denim.
I only wear black bottoms, really. I have two pairs of blue jeans, one that's ripped and one that's not. They're both skinny, but we don't talk about that.
another
that's
faux
a whole
pas.
Other podcast.
That's a whole other thing.
Second up for the Paul Rudd certificate of timelessness is the Thirsty Allen outfit. Very cash, just like a blue sweatpants bottom. I feel like they're joggers. We can't tell for sure, but that would be my guess. And then just a basic ass green pocket tee. not a ton to choose from this episode, like I said. But this, to me, my dad has this outfit, if we're talking about parents. My dad 100% has this outfit in his closet right now. Sarah, what did you think of Thirsty Allen?
I mean,
sounds like Kirstie Allen.
Kirstie Allen. I mean, if he tried to seduce me in this outfit, it would work. I mean, I think it does the job. We love sweatpants men. We don't complain about that. So I think that, he looks good. He always looks good. I love gray. I like maroon. I think that, also, like, him and Amy are, like, kind of matching. What a couple. Do you think that they match every night at bed? Is that their thing?
That's sad if that's their thing.
Yeah, it might be a little bit sad. Kayla, what do you think of his outfit for nighttime?
I like it. I hope they're joggers. If they're not, I'm going to dock some points. Mm-hmm. I also feel like sweatpants and sweatshirts are considered very sexy right now. Like, you put on a full face of makeup and then you put on a cute pair of sweatpants and, like, yes, that's your outfit. So I feel like he's in touch with the times still.
That's great news
for me. He looks a little raggedy. I feel like he has a stain on his shirt. Like, I can't see it, but I feel like it's stained. Like, it probably smells. If I knew he was clean, yeah, I'd like it more. I'm not sold. I'm not convinced that he's clean.
Oh, my gosh. It's a little wrinkly, too. The wardrobe department's really, like, they need to get out that steamer. Everyone's, like, wrinkly today. And, right, I think you're right. I think that this is his second night in a row wearing this shirt.
Do we like Kayla, his hair short?
I was just going to ask you the same question. Yeah, I was going to ask you what you think about his season 2 hair. Because I like it. I like it short, but I don't. Okay, I like it shorter, but I don't necessarily like the haircut that he has, if that makes sense. I feel like it needs to be, like, a little bit shorter on the sides, I think.
Exactly. It's just all one length right now, and so it looks weird. I could fuck with it if it was a different, like, shape, basically.
It's the shape's not doing him favors.
I don't know. I liked his old hair. I liked
Well, Sarah, you like the 90s, like, kind of almost, like, borderline mullet. Like, it's, like, flirting with being a mullet.
But also, like, he looked like a dad, and I like dad.
He still looks like a dad.
Yeah, but now he has, like, the short haircut. I like the other dad. Like, maybe he's not much of a zaddy anymore. Maybe he's still a zaddy.
Well, he's still a zaddy because Mr. Turner doesn't have any kids yet. So, like, he can't be a zaddy yet. He could just be, like, that hot teacher, like, hot for teacher. That's what, like, we should call him because everybody had that teacher that they were, like, hot for.
I know. And
that's
Mr. Turner. I hope his hair grows out a little bit more. Maybe we do something else with the hair. Hopefully we'll not gel, because gel was, like, a 90s thing, too. Ooh. And I don't want him to go near gel.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a bad choice. So what do you guys think between the power couple, Amy and Alan, who is the winner for the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness?
I don't know about you, Kayla, but I think I'm leaning towards Amy today. What do you think?
That's what I was going to say, too. I'm stuck between the flannel and the sweatpants both still being very in, but flannel just does it more for me. I like Amy. There's more to her outfit.
Yeah, we got multiple layers.
All right, so the women have it this week between Rebecca and Amy. They have swept the competition, so congratulations, ladies.
Yeah, I really liked all the girls' outfits in the 90s category this week. I mean, even Wendy's outfit, I don't really have.
I could have chosen, like, Wendy's second outfit, too. Like, she had a cute second outfit when her and Corey were, like, about to date or go on a date or whatever. Her outfit was also cute then. They had a lot of good fashion this episode.
Yeah.
The budget went up in season two.
the fashion budget definitely went up. No outfit repeaters this time around.
No. Kayla, did you have any other thoughts on Boy Meets World that you wanted to share with us today?
I don't think so. I think I pretty much said everything that I was thinking so far. I was only going to rewatch up until this point, but now I'm hooked again and I'm going to keep watching. Yay. So.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. I know. I've been really loving the rewatch, and it's, like, definitely something to look forward to. I wish, like, I can watch more than one episode a week, but I'm trying to be good.
No, I think that's good. I mean, I feel like I wouldn't be mad if you watched more Boy Meets World, although it would kind of like, I feel like it would dampen your reactions a bit, like when yeah, I'm actually podcasted. But like Dawson's Creek, you're absolutely not allowed to watch ahead. No, that's like a, no, you cannot.
Have you ever watched Dawson's Creek, Kayla?
I remember watching it when I was really young, and I, because like I said, I watched shows I shouldn't have when I was young, and I tried rewatching it a few years ago, and it didn't really stick, but I will always remember that Pacey was one of the first people I ever had a crush on.
Yes, yes. Joshua Jackson's very, very cute. He like he looks a little squishy.
Was it a spoiler? I took off my
headphones. Oh, no. She was saying she had a crush on Pacey. That's all.
Okay. I'm spoiler. I've never seen it before. So like I'm trying to be completely spoiler free. So if I hear or I feel like a potential spoiler coming, I run.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I'm safe. I'm glad that I'm safe.
No, I think it's one of those things where like Joshua Jackson, like the first like season or two is kind of like squishy, like he has like baby face, but I feel like the later the seasons go, like he definitely looks a little bit more manly, and like now he is like huge zaddy upside, like he is a fox now. He's been in a few
just
things.
Google real quick.
he is quite attractive.
He aged well.
he did
aged well.
Age was kind to him. But yeah, no, Dawson's Creek is great. We're having a lot of fun with that one as well. So Kayla, what else do you have going on? Plug all your social media, plug all of the fun things.
All my socials are K Marsh, KAYMARSCH. I don't really do a whole lot on social media. Like I don't have anything really to promote. I just post cute pictures of my dogs, so that's what you're in for if you follow me.
I mean, that's what everybody should follow you for then, obviously. Yeah.
This is the pro dog pod.
Yes.
We love the dogs.
We do.
So, this was so much fun, Kayla. Like, I feel like your energy definitely matches our energy in the world of Boy Meets World chaos. So like I'm so happy that you came on and we got to talk about this. We'll have to talk more Boy Meets World in the future. And thank you so much. For everybody else, please follow us on all of our social medias. We are at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. We would love to send us feedback at shit90spod@gmail.com. If you are in a great mood and want to give us compliments, give us a 5-star review on the iTunes. Yeah, 5 stars. Leave a comment saying how much you love us. That would be always appreciated. And yeah, just keep on this journey with us. Jess, like, what's going on in your world?
We have all of the podcasts here. And then, of course, I'm on Community Building Weekly with Josh Wigler covering the show Community. We are still early days, so we're just going to be talking about season 1, episode 4 this week with Asia from Class of 2020 and RHAP. Super duper excited for that. Spawns the character of Vaughn. We get to have a conversation about Shirley and Jeff talking about Vaughn's tiny nipples. I'm so excited for that. So that'll be coming up on Saturday. So that's over at Post Show Recaps. Give that a listen if you're interested. And next time we'll be talking about Boy Meets World season 2, episode 3. Can't wait. Kayla, thank you so much again for coming on and chatting with us. We'll definitely have to find a time for you to come back because, like Sarah was saying, your energy matches ours. We love calling people out for their shitty things that they do on this show. And we can't wait to get into more of it next week. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one. Shit90Shows.me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.